Hello, I'm Dave Miller. It's Think Out Loud. Today on the show, we'll sit down with the short story writer and essayist Charles D'Ambrosio. He's a longtime Northwesterner who's out with a new collection of essays on everything from whale hunting to his dysfunctional family. We'll also dig into Oregon's latest homelessness numbers. There's good and bad news in a new federal report. We start today with Oregon's Death with Dignity law. On Saturday, a woman named Brittany Maynard used the law to end her own life. She was 29 years old and had been diagnosed with an aggressive terminal brain cancer. She and her family had moved to Oregon from California specifically because of this law, and she became a nationwide story after she released a series of videos about her choice. Eli Stutzman was a lead author of Oregon's Law about 20 years ago. He's a Portland lawyer and the co-founder of the Death with Dignity National Center. We've invited him on to talk about how the law has been used over the last 17 years. It's good to have you on the show. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Last year, 122 Oregonians had prescriptions for lethal drugs. 71 of those people actually used the drugs. How do you account for that disparity?
Certainly. That disparity is due to the fact that people make plans in advance of their needs. And as the time approaches that they might hasten their death, they find that they don't need to. And this does not surprise us. This has been typical of every year, and this was our understanding back in 1993 when we drafted the law.
What are the possible reasons why somebody who has that medicine would decide that they don't want or need to use it?
Well, we know that patients want to live, but they make preparations for the end of their life, much like advance directives. With the Death with Dignity Act, there's an opportunity, if you qualify, to obtain medications that would hasten your death. But patients plan that if they have a difficult death. And if the death is not difficult, they might choose not to hasten it. And that's all that we expected. It was not a surprise the first year, and it continues to work as we expected.
What trends in the last 17 years in Oregon do you see? I mean, the most basic one that anybody who looks at the data for a second can see is a relatively steady increase in both the number of Oregonians over the last 17 years who have received this medicine and the number of people who've used it. What else do you notice in the numbers?
Well, the numbers are very stable. If you look at 17 years of experience since the law has been in effect, about 750 patients have hastened their deaths. And in Oregon, we have 30 or so thousand people a year that die. And if you understand that 44 or 45 patients are hastening their death under the Oregon law, it's a law that's rarely used. It's some might ask, why is this law necessary or even so popular if it's so rarely used? And the reason is that we all support and understand the need for it. And in the event that we find ourselves in that personal circumstance, we want to be able to take advantage of it too. But in fact, very few of us need to.
Is that – the verb you use there is hasten their death. It's different than the one I use in my intro. I said that she took her own life. Is that the way you think about this, that this fatal – amount of a drug is hastening a death as opposed to bringing it about?
Certainly. In all these cases, the patient is dying or they wouldn't qualify. In order to qualify under the Oregon Death with Dignity Act, there must be a prognosis of 6 months to live from a terminal disease. And in Brittany's case, she was approaching the end of that six-month period. And her prognosis and the timing was one where she made a decision to go forward with her plan. It could have been just the opposite in a different circumstance. She might have chosen not to hasten her death. But in fact, we find that patients wait as long as they can. And Brittany's case was no exception. She waited. But when it gets near and if it looks difficult, a patient might very well implement their plan and hasten their death.
If you were writing the law now instead of 20 years ago, would you do it differently at all?
I would not.
Not a single provision. You're happy with your work from two decades ago.
I am. It was a remarkable accomplishment in the balancing of competing public interests. We were dealing with an issue for the first time. It was a clean sheet piece of work in that we didn't have source or model laws to work from. But we did a lot of work in 1991, 1992, 1993, and we balanced those interests. And I think we got it right. The laws worked well.
Do you have a sense for how common it is for someone to move to this state specifically because of Oregon's law, or you could add Vermont or Washington to that list?
It's not common. If you look at the number of deaths under the Oregon law each year, obviously even if one or two of those were to have moved in, it would not be common because the numbers are so small. But we don't even know that one or two do. In Brittany's case, she did, and her case was compelling. She was a good advocate for herself and for the issue. And so we know about this particular case, but it's not common.
Why do you think her story garnered so much national attention in People magazine, millions of views of her video, a true national conversation?
Yes. She's very compelling and she's very young and the circumstances are very unfair. You know, her disease and her prognosis came at the beginning of the middle of her life, where she would expect to do all that we do in her 30s and 40s, and she didn't have that chance. And that's a compelling story, and she presented it in a compelling way.
And she made the choice to do that, to be very public, to make these videos that were seen by millions, to be interviewed by various national publications. What effect do you think her announcement and now her death, what effect do you think they've had on the national conversation about dying in America?
Well, she's raised the profile yet again for this issue, and she's done it in a remarkable way. I think we need a little bit more time and perspective before we know how long that impact will stick. But she could be, for example, the equivalent of Karen Ann Quinlan in the 70s. We don't know that yet. But she clearly has had a tremendous impact, and she was a very effective spokesperson for this issue.
What is the status of death with dignity laws around the country?
Well, Washington in 2008 passed a death with dignity law that was modeled very closely on the Oregon law. And Vermont last year passed a death with dignity law. So we have three states with three statutes. And then we have two other states where there's some ambiguity where it's not expressly prohibited and there's some maneuvering room, but it's not entirely satisfying for those that might want to hasten a death or participate in a hastened death. And those states would be Montana and New Mexico, and perhaps less so in Hawaii, a third state.
Eli Stutzman, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's Eli Stutzman. He is a Portland lawyer. He was the lead author of Oregon's Death with Dignity Law. He's a co-founder of the Death with Dignity National Center. Coming up after a break, we'll hear about the good news and the bad news from a new federal report on homelessness in Oregon.